This is David E. from FM 102.7, Radio Waterloo. Today we have Jeff Kankade joining us for an interview. Jeff has been releasing music under the name Devours and the Golden Age of Wrestling. His genre is electronic, but he uses a wide range of samples, synths, and recorded elements in his pieces to paint various different snapshots of his life. Thanks for joining, and I hope you enjoy. This is Interview with Jeff Kankade. So yeah, your solo work is under the name The Golden Age of Wrestling, right?
Yeah, I mean, my main project is called Devours.
Oh, that's your main project. So is that...
Yeah, that one, I've released 5 albums for it.
Oh,
and
nice.
So it's a little bit better known in Canada. I've played more festivals and stuff like that. And then maybe like 5 years ago during COVID, I created The Golden Age of Wrestling, which is a side project. And I have a handful of albums for that as well, but I haven't performed with it as much. It's more of just like a bedroom producer project.
Right.
Yeah. But nowadays Devours, like I've been performing for about 10 years as Devours, but about a year and a half ago, I added a drummer and his name is Dave. He used to be the drummer of a band called Japan Droids. And, so yeah, the two of us play mostly all of the shows now together. And so. Yeah, it's like sort of a two-piece, but yeah, Devours, in terms of like songwriting and production and stuff, it's all still just me.
So what's your background like?
Well, I started piano lessons when I was like 7, maybe. I have an older sister and she's like a piano prodigy. And so, yeah, she went into like the Royal Conservatory classical world and I did not. I mostly just sort of started writing my own music when I was around 10 years old and wrote a lot as a teenager, just different genres of music and was playing with friends and stuff. What else? Yeah, I lived in Montreal for 3 years in my early 20s and was making music there. And then I moved to Vancouver when I was 25 to try to get into composing for TV and film.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I did that for a number of years. I was like a freelance composer for documentaries and TV commercials and stuff like that. And then landed a few gigs doing the music editing for some American TV shows. And so that was like a lot of my 30s while also launching. I think I'd launched Devours when I was 30 and was just starting to like play underground shows pre-COVID. And so, yeah, I don't know. That's my background, I guess, is like mostly electronic pop music.
Right.
But I grew up playing drums as well. So I'm a drummer.
Nice.
I'm a little bit rusty now, but yeah.
That's like... quite the, you know, range of experience before you actually started like publishing music. That's very interesting.
Oh, trust me, I was trying to publish it from like my teen years onwards and like no one cared. And so there's like album after album after album of like buried stuff on probably like the deep web or whatever of like people, yeah, not being able to trace it. But yeah, I've been releasing stuff for a long time.
I mean, nowadays it's made like a lot easier with different distributors, and then you can just sign a contract instead of, you know, signing with labels or whatever, or hoping that labels find you.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, back in like the late 90s, I was putting out like mixtape, like cassette mm-hmm. tapes. In the 2000s, I was trying to put out like CDRs, you know, just like physical CDs, like printing CDs. Yeah, so like over the years, it's kind of changed a bit, but yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Nowadays, it's easier than ever to put your music online, but it's also more competitive than ever because like everyone and their dog is a musician releasing stuff on Spotify and stuff. So yeah, it's harder to get noticed now, but it's easier to actually like upload stuff.
Well, I mean, it's easier to like upload yourself and then make it official, like have a what is it called, a UPC, like have a mm-hmm. unique code for your work and all that. So
Yeah.
So like they labeled your genre as electronic. Do you have because I know some people are more specific about their genres, like, oh, I belong in this circle, not that circle. Like, would you have an opinion on like, you know, how do you label your own music?
Good question. Yeah. I mean, when I started Devours, the genre, have you heard of hyperpop?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So like that genre was very early, like it didn't have a name yet,
right?
And I didn't really know what to call Devours, but there were definitely some like similarities to hyperpop. There's some hyperpop DNA in Devours, but I was calling it like space pop, like 10 years ago. Like I just, it didn't have a name yet. I was like, this is like explicitly queer. It's colorful. It's like, you know, like kind of an adventurous, ambitious pop, synth pop music. I didn't know what to call it. And so for a handful of years, like that was like a, you know, like a buzzword, right, of hyperpop. Yeah. And I was like, I guess I'm hyperpop. I don't really know what to call this. And then, and yeah, in the last handful of years, especially after adding a drummer, I've been sort of like flirting with dark wave and with just like traditional synth pop. A lot of the songs that I've written for Devours are like rock songs, but I'm not very good at the guitar. And so I've just sort of transposed them to like, so I'm like, should I call it like electropunk? Mm. Like there's some punk DNA in there as well. So it's really hard. You know, our artists don't ever really want to like put themselves into a box.
Yeah.
As well. You know, like sometimes, you know, for a while there, hyperpop was cool. And now it's like, passé, you know what I mean? It's such a weird thing.
Yeah. Oh no, I feel you completely. Yeah.
But yeah, I know. I just call it like synth pop.
Synth. Yeah.
It sounds so boring, but yeah, I'm like, I guess that's what it is.
It's hard to like put yourself in a box for sure. Like we were just talking about how easy it is to release now, but then all the sites I've used or all the distributors I've seen, like they have what, like 10 options. You know, like a tiny, tiny drop down menu for what genre are you? I'm like, I don't know. Am I classical? Am I jazz? Am I blues? Am I electronic? Electronic itself is so broad.
It's so, so broad. Yeah.
That's why I asked you the question, because electronic is like, it can be anything, you know, it could be dubsteps. It could be experimental.
Yeah. Electronic is confusing, especially. Yeah. I think that when you're submitting things to Spotify and stuff like that, electronic is sort of assumed that maybe it's like, instrumental electronic as opposed to like pop oriented stuff. Yeah, so it's confusing doing that stuff. And yeah, nowadays with Spotify really taking over the industry, I feel like it's like a platform that really kind of like tries to put people in those boxes for their own playlists.
Yeah, it's all about the algorithm, right?
Exactly, yeah. Whereas years ago, sort of in like the blog era, where that was more popular to sort of like have your music show up on written blogs and stuff, it felt like a time where it was more encouraged to like be unique and to like mix genres together to be creative and create something new. Whereas nowadays it's like, oh, my music doesn't sound goth enough for the goth playlist on Spotify. I need to make it more goth or something like that. So yeah, that's kind of how I feel.
Yeah, no, I feel you, because like right now I feel like sometimes I say to my friends that like I still have the privilege of having that freedom, if you know what I mean, because I'm like nobody yet, and which means there's no expectation and I can do whatever I want and I call it whatever I want.
Yeah.
And then like when I, that's the big if, but like, you know, if I become big name or whatever someday, I would see that as more of a restriction, as in like I belong in this genre and then I have fans' expectation to cater to, I have this and that.
Yeah, well said. I mean, it's, I think that like after a handful of years of trying to like, you know, make Devours a name and to like I've worked with a label before for my second album with Devours, and I think that I was starting to get disillusioned, because I was like, wait, so much of this is about like branding and commodifying this this like product that I've made and turned into. And I think that's why I started the Golden Age of Wrestling, was to have that feeling again that you just described, of being like, okay, there are no expectations, there's no fan service, there's no like trying to make a song that my friends liked from my last album. Like there are so many weird pressures that come up. It's really hard to like hold on to artistic integrity when there are expectations. Yeah, especially if you're working with a label and they're like, oh, we want you to get your numbers up, we want you to appeal to this demographic and stuff like that. And so yeah, there are no easy answers, right? Like,
yeah,
it's nice to be off of everyone's radar, but also you kind of like want to be on some people's radars.
Yeah,
not be like alone in your basement. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of expectations, like what do you think is the least expected thing when people hear your music?
What is the least expected thing?
What would be the most surprising to listeners, let's say like people that are brand new to your music?
Yeah, I think that from the very beginning of Devours, I kind of wanted it to appear like a style over substance project. because like it is very aesthetic, right? Like I have these giant eyebrows and it's like a pseudo drag almost, you know, like every album that I put out has a different like image and like aesthetic to it. And so I've really tried to lean into sort of like, yeah, making it seem like it'll be more of like a visual project, but the lyrics cut like very, very deep and they're very personal. And I think that I've always, like from the very beginning of this project, I've tried to like push the needle forward in terms of what is like sung about with like queer topics. You know what I mean? So yeah, because like when I was growing up, there was like George Michael and Elton John and people who were like, who were out gay artists, but their music was like very universal. And I felt like they weren't actually singing about like real queer topics. They were just singing for straight people.
Right.
Basically. And so I think that with my music, I'm like singing about bottoming and I'm singing about like body dysmorphia and like sort of like the darker side of like what it's actually like to be like an inner city queer person in Canada. And so I think that that's like maybe what is surprising to people is that they think that it's just going to be like dance pop, like superficial dance pop, but the lyrics are a bit more like political and they're like a little bit more confrontational. And yeah, so that's maybe a surprise for people.
Yeah, I checked out some of your pieces. I would have to admit they're all under the Golden Age of Wrestling instead of Devour, because I was
Talk about Golden Age if you want. Yeah, I love the Golden Age of Wrestling. I really, really like that project. But most of it is instrumental. There aren't a lot of lyrics. And so, yeah, for that project, I'm not sure if there are any huge surprises other than most people think it's going to just be like all wrestling themed. And it is, and it is not. It's just like a funny stage name, but
When I heard that name, my brain kind of made the association of struggles instead of like the actual wrestling. I'm not sure if that's part of your image at all.
Oh, whoa, that's so interesting. That had not crossed my mind at all. No, I grew up loving wrestling, so I actually know what it's like. I'm a huge fan of like professional wrestling,
right?
And nice. So I thought that it was just sort of like an interesting stage name. Every album that I've had for that project is the name of a wrestling move.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so my first album was called Tombstone Piledriver. The next one was called Crossface Chicken Wing. They're all like professional like wrestling moves, but then none of the song titles have anything to do with wrestling.
None of
the music have anything to do with it. But yeah, the few times that I've performed as the Golden Age of Wrestling in Vancouver, I have kind of like adopted a heel, like which is like a villainous persona.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I like trash talk the audience. It's fun. So like I've gotten a little bit into like the wrestling villain character, and online I'm often like badgering Devourers and like bullying Devourers, and so there's been like this pretty well-known feud between both of my projects, which is funny because like it's just me doing everything. It's like a funny way of like
kind of like two characters kind of thing,
creating a storyline between my projects.
That's really cool. Yeah, I checked out some tracks under Golden Age, and then yeah, like you got some really interesting mix of like textures and different instrumentations in there. Like, would you like to talk about your like creative process a bit? Like, how do you, where do you draw your inspirations from, or like what do you start with? Like maybe, you know, tech wise or what kind of sounds and anything?
Yeah, I mean, specifically for the Golden Age of Wrestling, I make all of my music in Logic, and a lot of the sounds that I'm using, some of them are built into Logic, they just come with it, but I just sort of like warp them, and I tune some of the synths in a way to make them sound vintage. Yeah, so there's a bit of like sound design with it. There's lots of like vocal sampling and samples that I warp. But yeah, I want to make music that is like simple and evocative. I really like film scores. I really like Donkey Kong Country 2. I don't know if you've ever played that for Super Nintendo, but like David Wise is a genius. video game composer. And so I think that those influences have come out a little bit in the Golden Age project.
Nice.
Yeah, kind of all over the place. Yeah, it's hard to even pinpoint it because I have two separate projects and they're all kind of like coming from being like a pop culture junkie in my youth and just sort of consuming everything, right? So it's hard to even pinpoint. Yeah, it's just, I guess, like 30 years of pop culture. Honestly, like I was a gamer up until I was around 14 or so. And like with all of like the side-scrolling games like Mario Brothers and stuff like that. And then things got kind of complicated. I'm going to sound like such an idiot saying this, but like the games got so complicated. And like there, when it became sort of like 3D and with games like Zelda and stuff, I'm like, I don't know which direction to go in. Like the character, you see the character's back and they're just wandering all over the place. And I'm like, this is so confusing. I miss the side-scrolling games where like there's one direction that you need to go.
Either left or right, right?
Yeah. So like I kind of gave up on gaming, but yeah, like the soundtracks were really influential for me. Games like Bomberman or Rad Racer and things like that, like for like early Nintendo and Super Nintendo were huge for me.
Yeah, I feel like the music for older games, it's so inspiring in terms of like working with the limitations they had.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The file size, the 8-bit, all that, and then like how much you can cram into a tiny, tiny card.
Yeah.
And like all the Nintendo games, they are MIDI, but they sound actually so good. And it's like magic.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's interesting. It has advanced a lot, obviously, from like the 90s. Video game soundtracks are incredible now, and they just sound like film scores. They're like so incredibly well made, and they sound great. But anyways, yeah.
And it kind of like loops back to the process thing we were talking about, because like you mentioned, you work in Pro Tools, was it?
I've used Pro Tools in the past for editing and stuff, but I make all of my
music. Oh, you said Logic. Sorry.
Yeah.
Right. And then, like even with just the base, you know, version of a software or any DAW, really, like it comes with so many like stock plugins, stock synths, samples and all that. And it's, do you ever get that feeling of like there's so much to choose from and it's disorienting that way?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's crazy. The amount of stuff in these programs is so wild. I've also been learning Ableton. Have you ever tried Ableton before?
I have. I was using something else for quite a while before trying Ableton. I was like, nah, I'll stick with the other thing. But
okay, yeah, I think I may prefer Logic a little bit more than Ableton, but yeah, Ableton's amazing. It has like a million sounds built into it. So yeah, it's really overwhelming. It feels like a kid in the candy store, you know, being like, oh my God, there's so much here. And I think that's actually been really challenging for both Devourers and the Golden Age of Wrestling for me to come up with like a specific palette.
Mm-hmm.
So that it doesn't sound too broad, or that it doesn't sound like I'm writing for 10 different projects. You know what I mean? But like to really come up with like, these are going to be the four synths that I use for the whole album, right? Because like so much of it is trying to come up with a distinctive sound for yourself.
Yeah.
As opposed to just using like one of the many sounds that everyone else uses with these programs. And so yeah, that's really challenging, is like curating like a palette for yourself that you stick with.
Kind of like create cohesion within your brand and then within an album even.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's tricky.
And do you mostly work from samples, or do you like do any recording of your own, or?
Well, I mean, there are some, like, so I have a synthesizer. It's a keyboard, a Yamaha that I've had since I was like I was like 11 years old, maybe. And it's still the one that I use to perform with live. Nice. I just played a Devourer show yesterday, actually, and like played it live. And there are maybe like 2 out of 100 sounds on it built into the keyboard that are cool. And the other ones are like absolutely terrible and have aged really badly. But there are a few that I still use from that. And then otherwise, yeah, it's just sounds. Sometimes like I sing and then turn my vocals into an instrument.
Oh, like manipulate it in different ways.
Yeah. So like some of it is real samples, some of it's from my original keyboard, some of it is just like built in like samples from Logic and stuff like that. So yeah, it's a bit of a mix of everything.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah, I flagged a few tracks when I was listening to them last night.
Okay.
Friendship Cove was really interesting. The blend of timbres with the vocal and the lead and the pads. It was really a very nice texture.
Thank you. Overall. I like that one. Yeah, Friendship Cove was a really, really cool like DIY music venue in Montreal in the late 2000s. And I used to go there to see shows. And so, yeah, that song, I kind of wanted to like conjure up a feeling of like nostalgia and warmth. And for that was like a special time in my life. And
well, you said it's a name of a venue?
So it doesn't exist anymore. It just existed for maybe like 5 years or so when I was living there in Montreal. Right. It was a really cool sort of launching pad for lots of musicians. So that there's that one. I'm trying to think of anything to like say about it sonically. I like it. I think I made that one like 2 years ago. So it's
2 years ago. Right. Yeah. And I also flagged another one called Stanley Park Ravers. Is that also linked to an actual place, memory, or?
Yeah. Have you been to Stanley Park before? It's a huge park in Vancouver.
No, I've only been to Vancouver once. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Didn't get the chance to explore
much. The west end of downtown Vancouver. Yeah. So it's a huge park. And yeah, so it was during COVID. A friend of mine was kind of depressed and was like, oh, nothing's happening in Vancouver. And so he basically like made a rave happen in Stanley Park with his friends, and they got a bunch of like neon light fixtures. And it was very playful. It wasn't like a massive rave or anything, but there was just something about the spirit of that I really love, like the DIY spirit of being in a place, maybe even like Waterloo, where it's like, oh, the place is closed late in the evening and this isn't that like exciting a place, but like everywhere is just sort of a blank canvas for artists to create something cool with, you know, instead of blaming the city. I really liked that idea of just like creating something with your friends and
be the scene, right? Be the scene yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like I really am inspired by that. And and so, yeah, that song is one of the longest songs on the new album. The new album is called Sweet Chin Music. I don't know if you've heard of that wrestling move.
No, not really.
Okay, you can YouTube it after this.
Yeah.
Basically, a wrestler from the 90s named Shawn Michaels just like kicks people in the head, and that's his final move.
What is it called again?
It's called Sweet Chin Music.
Okay.
Yeah. But so that song, I like it quite a bit. It's like 6 minutes long, so I really wanted to have it be kind of like progressive, I guess. Like it doesn't really have a chorus, it just very slowly but surely loops on top of itself, and halfway through there's a little bit of like a drum beat that comes in. And yeah, I just wanted it to be kind of cinematic and sort of evocative of like, yeah, like a long summer night.
Yeah, because I was taking some notes when I was listening through some of the tracks, and in this one I wrote down the sequencers were really, because you panned them slightly, so it's kind of like a brain tickler kind of thing. And then overall, I did notice the arc or a sense of, you know, storytelling in the whole piece.
Great.
So it makes sense what you told me about the, you know, the whole story about the park, and then your friend trying to like bring life to it, essentially.
Yeah,
that's really,
thank you. Yeah, I wrote this album quite a while ago, and I've been working on new Devour stuff, and so even for me I'm like, what was that song again? But yeah, really, I put this album out back in February, and like it hasn't done a ton, like because I haven't managed to perform it very much. I put on a release show in Vancouver, which was really fun, but yeah, Devourers tends to sort of overshadow the Golden Age of Wrestling, and so that's mostly where my head is at. But yeah, I really, really like this Golden Age album. The one that you listen to, I really liked it. Hopefully a few people listen to it.
Yeah. Wait, so how many albums do you have under like Golden Age?
Yeah, for the Golden Age of Wrestling, I have 4 full-length albums. The newest one, yeah, it's called Sweet Chin Music, and I just put it out in February earlier this year. So it's nice. It's still quite new, yeah.
So is there like a next step for you in terms of music? Or are you working on anything currently?
Good question. Life is hard in Vancouver. I've been around for a while now, and it's like, it's a really, really hard city for musicians. So yeah, I mean, like even the most successful musicians in Vancouver are like part-time lawyers and teachers and stuff. Like it's an expensive city. It's really hard to survive here. Yeah. And so yeah, like in the last handful of years, I've been transitioning out of working in the arts, and I am now currently a career counselor.
Nice.
Yeah. So I've been doing this for half a year. I'm losing my job right now and I'm trying to find another contract. So yeah, so much of like my life, it's hard to even talk about being an artist because I'm just like, well, I'm doing things to survive and pay the bills while also gigging a ton. Like I do actually perform in Vancouver a lot, but it's hard to pay the bills. So yeah, life is always just like trying to find the balance of like having a side job that pays and then also doing music and playing festivals on weekends and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, for Devours, the next album is almost done. I'll put it out next year. With the Golden Age, I'm going to play Vancouver Fringe Fest for that project. So that's cool because like I don't find as many opportunities to perform it live like as Golden Age of Wrestling. And so, yeah. And then this summer, I'm continuing to do, you know, perform with Devours. And so, yeah, if you're curious about Golden Age of Wrestling, the project, I really like the new one that I just put out. I've had writer's block for the Golden Age for a while now because I'm like, maybe this new album is like it. Maybe it's the one where I'm just like, I'm really proud of it. I don't know where else to go from here. So maybe the next project will be a bit different sounding. But I'm honestly like mostly focusing on Devours right now.
Nice. Is there any like particular theme you're focusing on with the new project that you're working on? Or?
I don't know. All of my themes are kind of about like depression, anxiety, trying to like be happy, trying to survive in Vancouver.
Yeah.
They're about like dating and love and nostalgia and stuff like that. I feel like all of my albums are kind of the same.
Well, I mean it's good to have cohesion that way too, right? And it's real. It's what people connect to.
Yeah, I mean they're all just kind of like time capsules in my life.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the themes are just like about a certain thing that's on my mind right now or things like that. Yeah, so they don't necessarily have like really really specific themes. Like that one album is only about Trump or something like that. They're just all sort of like snapshots of what's happening in my life every two or 3 years.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
that's cool. Is there anything else that you would like to perhaps shout out, perhaps share with us, or
Shout out Waterloo. No, you did a great job, David. Thanks for wanting to chat with me. Your questions were awesome.
Thank you.
Just let me know.
Thanks a lot.
Posted, but yeah, thanks for chatting with me. This is fun.
Yeah, it was really nice to meet you, and best of luck with everything, with your work and music, and yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, see you in touch. Yeah, see ya.
Thank you.